And you'll probably notice this morning I've been doing a little bit of illustrations as well. Went down to Post Falls, Idaho this past year just was investing in discipleship and learning about a little bit about a model, particular model that, you know, everybody says, well, Jesus taught this way. Well, he did. He taught by stories. If you open up your Bible, you'll see in your Bible that how much of your Bible is story? Probably about 75%, 80%, 95% is story. Everything that Jesus did, he taught in story. He taught his disciples by story. And so that's been a transformation for me, preaching-wise. 70% of our people today, 75% of our people today in North America learn by oral learning. Well, what do you mean by oral learning? They don't read. They learn by sight, by hearing. And they transfer the stories that way. It's not so much, if you want to say, point by point, expository storytelling anymore. Preaching. It's storytelling. So I've sort of made a little transition that way and experimenting with that. And one of the great things about it, I get to use my creativity. Some of you probably say you can't draw worth a darn. The intention is not to be so illustrative that you get bogged down in that. But so part and parcel, this morning I'm going to tell you a story. And it's a story that you've probably heard before, but I'm hoping it's a story that you'll actually hear once again. And that you will allow the Spirit to work through the story and sort of penetrate your hearts, penetrate your minds to bring up those questions. And I want you to be asking this question while you listen to the story is, what do I learn about God here? What is God saying to the disciples? What's he saying to me? What are the implications of this story in my life? And sort of put yourself in one of those persons' place. We're going to talk about walking on water today. Anybody done that lately? No volunteers? Come on. But walking on water, what does Jesus mean by that? Because we know Peter walked on the water. How did he do that? So we're going to learn about that this morning. But if you would you bow with me as we pray? Father, we give you thanks for, I give you thanks for this morning, Lord, and being able to come back to our family here in Peace River. And Lord, just to be able to see faces and see people and reconnect in those relationships that we've made here. And Father, I give you thanks that I can share your word this morning. And Father, I pray that you would speak through me. It would not be myself, but Father, that it's you, that it's your Spirit, and Lord, that only the truth would be spoken and only your truth be received. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, here it is. Immediately, Jesus told his disciples to get in the boat and go, while he dismissed the crowds. While Jesus dismissed the crowds, he went up on a hill after he finished, and he began to pray. After he prayed, and as he was praying, he saw the boat the disciples were on, and they were battling against the waves and the wind. And it became evening. And about 3 a.m. in the morning, the disciples were still battling the waves, and Jesus began to walk on the water towards them. And as Jesus was walking and He was going to pass them by, the disciples became terrified. They thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid, it is I." Well, we know from that point, Peter says to Jesus, "If you're Jesus, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." You're all feeling that you're in this position of Peter. Well, Peter slowly gets over to the side of the boat, puts his foot on to one side. You know, you're probably imagining he's like, puts his foot on the other side, still clinging to the boat. And then he lets go. What happens? He stands. Thinking he's invulnerable, he's invincible. And the story goes, he starts walking to Jesus on the water. But as he's walking, he notices the wind. It's a strong wind. And he begins to sink. He begins to fall into the water. And Peter cries out to Jesus, "Help me, save me." What happens? Jesus immediately, the Word says, reaches out and grabs Peter and pulls him up. And He says to Peter, "Why did you doubt?" And then Jesus and Peter get back into the boat. And the wind and the waves stop. What happens next? The disciples bow down before Jesus and say, "You surely are the Son of God." What would you do if you were there? A couple of things we notice in this story right away is that at the beginning, Jesus orders the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side. And this whole story takes place after He's just finished feeding the 5,000. Interesting, when we read further along in Matthew, this is from Matthew chapter 14, if you want to follow along, is that we learn that the disciples didn't understand what Jesus had done by feeding the 5,000. We read that in Mark 6. And Jesus feeds these people, and then it's revealed to us in Luke, is that Luke chapter 7, is that the people wanted to grab Jesus and make Him king by force. So Jesus dismisses His disciples, tells them to get in the boat, and then He disperses the crowd. Why did He dismiss the disciples? Because we know that the disciples were looking for the king. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the one that was going to restore the fortunes of Israel. That was going to vanquish their foes. Maybe Jesus dispersed the people because His disciples, because He didn't want them to get the wrong idea and get in with the mob and make Him king. But He tells the disciples to go. And the thing we learn about true disciples is what? They obey the Messiah. So they go. They get into the boat and they start rowing across the sea. Jesus disperses the crowds. He goes up on the mountain to pray. Well, what's He praying about? He's probably praying for the disciples. Because if you know, back in Matthew chapter 8, there's another picture of Jesus and the disciples in a boat on the same sea. But this time Jesus is in the boat with them. And you remember what's going on? Is the sea starts to churn again. Starts to get violent. And they're worried, they're afraid that they're going to drown. What's Jesus doing? He's asleep in the boat. He's like, how can you sleep at a time like this? We're going to sink. We're going to fall. We're going to be destroyed. And what does Jesus do? He calms the wind and the waves. Well, Jesus sends them out this time on their own. He's up on the mountain. He can see them. He's watching them. He's praying for them. It says at 3 a.m., Jesus comes down and He's walking on the water towards them. In the account of Mark and the account of Luke, it says that Jesus, as He was walking on the water, He was actually going to walk by them. What do the disciples do? They call out to Him. But they think He's a ghost. Because there is that belief, that superstition back there, that ghosts were real. Even to be on the sea, when the sea started to churn and it was the east wind that was blowing, the east wind was the wind that blew and destroyed things. It was the north wind that brought rain. It was the west wind that brought and took out the locusts. It brought prosperity. And it was the east wind that brought heat. So this is not the east wind. South wind brought heat. But the east wind brought destruction. They're battling against this east wind. Jesus has them. They're out there doing it. And then He comes out on the water. I want you to notice another thing here. As the wind and the waves are blowing against the disciples, they continue to row against the waves. They're continuing to obey Jesus. When things get tough, when things get hard, what's our propensity to do? What are we tempted to do? Quit. Maybe say, even this isn't the will of God. It's too hard. It's too tough. But we see in this picture, the disciples continue to row. It's 3 a.m. in the morning. They got out 3-4 miles. They're not there yet. Jesus comes to them on the water. Well, who's the one that speaks? Peter sees Jesus. Jesus says, I'm Jesus. Don't be afraid. And Jesus says, if you are who you say you are, Jesus, and you're not a ghost, command me to come out on the water. When's the last time you told Jesus to command you to do something? When's the last time you had that faith to say, Jesus, I want you to use my life, I want you to command me, and I am your vessel, and I will do. We tend to look at Peter, and we ignore this part of the story. We tend to focus on Peter as he doubts, and he fails, and he falls into the water. He didn't have enough faith. Well, you know what? Peter's the only one that gets out of the boat. It's a story of faith. Peter is faithful. He wants to trust God. He wants to trust that He is Jesus. And he trusts that Jesus has the authority and the power to do so. If you are Jesus and you're not a ghost, command me to come to you on the water. He gets out on the water. He starts walking to Him, but then He sinks. Why does He sink? Because He gets double vision. He comes to a crossroad where He can take two paths. Doubt creeps in. What do I do? And Peter's faith begins to fail. Interesting thing here is that Jesus allows him to sink. Jesus doesn't go, "I know what you're thinking now, Peter, I'm going to grab you before you do." He grabs him after he is sinking. Jesus works that way. God works that way in our life. It's the trials where we learn things and we grow. It's not necessarily where the successes are. In our successes, we learn what we are to do. In our failures, we learn what not to do, and we eventually learn what we are to do. Peter starts to sink, and he cries out to God. Cries out to Jesus, and that's when the Word says, immediately, not hesitatingly, not waiting for a certain amount of time, Jesus reaches out and grabs a hold of Peter and pulls him out. That's the kind of God, that's the kind of Lord that we have. Well, he pulls him up. Says, "Why did you doubt?" You know, I picture Jesus when he calls Peter out and he sees Peter getting out of the boat. Do you think Jesus has this big smile standing back on the water? Watching him, you know, if I drew it again, I'd draw it like this. That's how Jesus looks at us when we trust him. When we have faith in what he has said, what he asks us to do, and we do it. He's that proud father standing back and going, "Hey, look what he's doing. Look what she can do." He's happy. And when Peter starts to fail, he knows that even in his failure, Peter is growing. Grabs a hold of him, saves him, says, not rebukingly, says, "Peter, why'd you doubt? You were doing it. You were walking in faith." Peter, you had double vision. You focused on your problems. You doubted that I had the authority and the power to overcome the world and the things of the world. Don't doubt. Here's the picture in the story too. Peter, you're standing on the water with me. Do you realize that? You're standing on the water. I don't know how many of you, if you have daughters, even maybe your sons, maybe if you've done some dancing. You ever had your kids stand on your feet and you dance with them? It's the same sort of thing that Jesus does. We stand on His feet and He guides, He leads. The other thing is that they get back in the boat. We kind of haphazardly read over that, they get back in the boat. Well, Peter's walking with Jesus on the water into the boat. Isn't that amazing? That's who our God is. That is who Jesus is. He walks with us on the water in the storms of our life. He walks with us. And we get back in the boat and everything calms. It's not a matter of Peter going, "Look at what I did." It's a matter of, "Look what Jesus can do." And imagine what the disciples are thinking that are sitting in the boat. I wish I did that. I wish I had had enough faith to step out of the boat and look what happened to Peter. I mean, they're ecstatic, right? No more wind and waves. We're not going to die. Yay! I draw it here that Jesus is doing the hocus pocus, right? But Scripture says He gets into the boat, and as soon as that happens, the wind and the waves stop. So Jesus says. So what's our response? Do we bow before God? Do we bow before Jesus and give Him the proper glory that He deserves? All the disciples could do was bow before Him and say, "You surely are the Son of God." In this story, I'm thinking, Jesus just fed 5,000 people. Just before this. And now you bow before Him and say, "You surely are the Son of God?" Because it says in the account, they did not understand the feeding of the 5,000. And what happens, we read later on in Matthew, that they go and Jesus feeds the 4,000. And He says to them, "Do you still not understand the feeding of the 5,000? What's the big picture here? Big picture is that Jesus is full power and authority. And a disciple who does His works and obeys Him walks in full power and authority of Christ. That was the biggest thing that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes had a problem with. That was the biggest issue for them. Jesus, by whose power and authority are you doing that? By whose power and authority are you healing on the Sabbath? By whose power and authority do you give your disciples permission to eat on the Sabbath? By whose power and authority do you heal this man who is lame, this man who is blind? By whose power and authority do you raise the dead?" People are astounded when Jesus teaches and speaks because they say, "What? This authority, this power by which He speaks, we've never heard anything of it, like it." He wasn't quoting some other scribe. He wasn't quoting some other pastor. He was actually speaking the words of God. I would have loved to have been sitting there. But this, the whole thing in Scripture is about the authority of Christ. The authority of God. Does He have authority in your life? Are you functioning in the authority that He has given you as a son or a daughter of Christ? He said in the Great Commission, "Go out and teach and disciple and baptize. Tell people everything that you know about Me and teach them to follow Me." And He says, "I am with you always to the very end." This picture of walking on water, Peter walks on water because he has faith and believes in the power and authority of Jesus. Do we do the same? Do we live the same way? Or do we live in fear? The times that we are entering, the times that we are in, they're difficult times. They're times that are getting darker and darker and darker, and it's a time when the church needs to stand forth, needs to stand up, needs to share and preach the love of Christ. But we need to live by our convictions that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the Holy One, and that He is the power and He is the authority, and He's the only one that we answer to. Are we doing so? How do I walk on water? You walk on water by obeying the words of Christ and living the example of Christ. We love God, we love people, we love our world, we love well. That's how we walk on water. That's how we live in authority. "Oh, Peter, you failed." We missed the big picture. Peter is the only one that got out of the boat and tried and lived. And is it any instance that, what does Jesus say to Peter? "Upon you, Peter, I'll build My church. Upon you, Peter, the rock." So what do we learn from about God here? What do we learn about Jesus? What do we learn about Peter? What do we learn from the disciples? That's for you to reflect about. For Lynette and I, we got called out of the boat. This was the boat that we were in. And we got called to another place. And you know what? It was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to step out of the boat. I think Lynette is still in the boat. She doesn't want to make friends now. But we have to be faithful. There's another story in Scripture that talks about that kind of faith, and it's the Roman centurion. And if you remember, the Roman centurion had a favorite slave. And he loved this slave, and he was favored by him. And so he sends a delegation to Jesus to ask Jesus to come to him, to his slave, and heal him. And so Jesus agrees, and he agrees, and he's going with him. And then the Roman centurion sends his friends to Jesus, and Jesus is still off, and they say, you don't need to come. You just say the word, and my slave will be healed. He goes, because I understand the way authority works. That those in authority, when they say something, you do it. When they say go, you go. When I command them to come, they come. And Jesus says to that delegation, and he says to the people around him following, he says, I have not seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. Go, and the servant is healed. Is that the kind of life and disciple you want to be known as? That Jesus says, come, you come. He says, go, you go. He says, do, you do. As a disciple of Christ, I have to obey Christ. That's my job. That's my responsibility. And so, you know what? This is a privilege to come here. But may the Lord be with you. May He shine His face upon you. May you have His peace as you obey and follow His way.